is Gary, and this is a show where I talk about an interesting techie, sciencey story that I read on the internet that I found interesting, and I enjoy a lovely craft beer while I do it. I also record it, edit it a little bit, because no one really wants to listen to me swallow and burp, and then I cast it up there on that there internet in pod form. This is my show. Welcome! It's 100 degrees on the surface of Portland, Oregon right now, and so I'm hiding in my bunker. But it's been in the upper 90s for so long, it's actually gotten hot down here. So, I really want to tuck into an ice-cold brew. Let me activate the randomizer to ensure that I have a randomly selected beer, because it's more fun when I don't know what I'm going to be drinking. Thank you, randomizer. Today, I shall be imbibing Level Beer's Let's Play! Yay, another Portland Brewer's deliciousness. Hooray! Love living here. Let's Play is a 5% ABV German Pilsner. Perfect for hot days. BeerAdvocate.com has this cute little definition as to what makes a German Pilsner a German Pilsner. The Pilsner beer was first brewed in Bohemia, a German-speaking province in the old Austrian Empire. Pilsner is one of the most popular styles of lager beers in Germany, and in many other countries. It's often spelled as Pilsner, and oftentimes abbreviated, or spoken in slang as Pils. Classic German Pilsners are very light straw to golden in color. Head should be dense and rich. There are also well-hopped brewed using noble hops such as Saz, Hallertauer, Hallertauer Mittelfrüh, Tettnanger, Styrian Goldings, Spalt, Pearl, and Hersbrucker. And I'm positive I mangled all of those names. These varieties exhibit a spicy herbal or floral aroma and flavor, oftentimes a bit coarse on the palate, and distribute a flash of citrus-like zest. Hop bitterness can be high. Yum. Let me play a sound effect so I can subtly transition to the beer mic so you can listen to the pour. Alright, it's pale yellow, has a white head. And I want to drink this right now. Oh, perfect beer for a hot day. It's bitter, yeah, but it's also so clean and cool and crisp. Just fantastic. Who knew Germans knew how to make really good beer? An extremely interesting paper was published in the journal Astrobiology last week, and the story hit a few of my blogs, but I really prefer Business Insider's take simply because of the headline. The moon may have once been able to support life, but learning more will require an aggressive future program of lunar exploration. Emphasis mine. Now, the idea that the moon could once have been habitable is based on a series of recent discoveries, many of which I have talked about in shows past, that suggest the moon isn't as dry as had been previously thought. There is very probably water ice in polar craters and water deposits trapped in the moon's interior. The new study says that billions of years ago, and that's billions with a B, there could have been a significant amount of liquid water on the lunar surface. About 4.5 billion years ago, it's been theorized that the proto-Earth and another planetary body collided, vaporizing both and creating a superheated torus, which is a fancy word for a donut shape, of molten vaporized rock and liquid called a synestia, which I've talked about before. As the synestia cooled, it coalesced into a new proto-Earth, and a chunk of material began to coalesce into a proto-moon. During this fiery time, the moon was largely molten, covered in oceans of magma that spewed gases out from the surface. The gravity of the early moon, combined with the sheer amount of gases, we've all been there, could have been just the right recipe for an atmosphere to form, and over time the magma oceans would have cooled, allowing water vapors to condense and form liquid water pools across the moon's surface. Now, all this would have occurred about 4 billion years ago. 500 million years later, the moon saw a period of intense volcanic activity, which could have created more gases, thickening the atmosphere, allowing liquid water to stay in place for about 70 million more years, especially if the moon's core was generating a magnetic field, which would protect the moon's atmosphere and water from the ravages of solar winds. If liquid water and a significant atmosphere were present on the early moon for long periods of time, we think the lunar surface would have been at least transiently habitable. Dirk Schulz-Makuch, a Washington State University astrobiologist and co-author of the study, said in a statement, "During both those atmosphere-creating periods, life may have already existed on the surface of our Earth. At some point, organic molecules began to fuse together, eventually becoming cyanobacteria, the earliest known form of life based on fossils. Scientists aren't sure how long it took for cyanobacteria to develop on Earth, but some researchers suggest it took less than 10 million years. So if the same organic molecules existed on the moon during its atmospheric days, it suggests life may have developed on the moon as well as on the Earth." We had Moon Brothers. As exciting as all this is, it's all theory at this point. And any efforts to confirm any of this would require, as the study authors put it, an, quote, aggressive future program of lunar exploration. Emphasis mine. But the researchers behind the study think their work at least shows life could have existed on the moon during those two periods. "It looks very much like the moon was habitable at this time," Schulz-Makuch said. "There could have actually been microbes thriving in water pools on the moon until the surface became dry and dead." So sad. Yeah, I've mentioned many times that I would love to live on the moon at some point. But you know what? To get there, I would need something. Some kind of conveyance. Something like a, what is it? It's just on the very tip of my mind.
Our bags are packed, we're
That's what I was thinking about, a rocket ship. Got it. Thanks. I must leave now. My planet needs me. But before I go, if you'd like to support my show's endeavors, you can always support me with money at patreon.com/ihabitradio. That is patreon.com/ihabitradio. And also, I am an amateur professional audio engineer. I even have one of those pinstripe hats. Woo-woo. And consider this an example of what I can do. Voice work, audio editing, podcast producing. You know, I also edit the Paper Talk podcast, so you should check that one out. And if you ever wanted to learn about the art of making paper by hand, you can check out the show's official sponsor, Pulp and Deckel. It's Portland's only community handmade papering studio. Check out their stuff at PulpandDeckel.com. And now it really is time for me to go. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, pets, plants, aliens, and rocket ships about the show and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to Gary@PulpandDeckel.com. Or on Twitters and Instagram at iHabitRadio, or even on the Facebook at facebook.com/iHabitRadio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!